Let's look here tonight in 1 Peter chapter number 1. Actually, I want to read in 2 Peter chapter 1 first, just one verse of scripture over there. The Bible said in verse 1 of chapter 1 of 2 Peter, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. And then he tells who he's writing to. To them that have obtained like precious faith. I know you've seen that phrase before. With us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, there are people in the world that think, beloved, listen, that they're going to heaven apart from the righteousness of God, apart from this like precious faith, and that's just never going to happen. Amen. Jesus will say to many in that day, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He doesn't care how many... Listen, it's not going to matter how many names, roles your name was on, how many times you've been baptized, how many Sunday school pins you have. Beloved, listen, it's going to come down to this. Have you been born of God? Have you been born again? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Now, what I want to look at tonight in chapter 1 of 1 Peter is what makes this faith so precious. I want us to see tonight three areas. I want us to see how it's precious in the beginning, and we'll look at the beginning of our faith, and then we're going to look at the trial of our faith. It's like the beginning of our faith, and then the continuation of our faith, and then at the end of our faith. I want us to see those three areas tonight in chapter number 1. Let's begin with the beginning of our faith. The Bible said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What I want to look at tonight, first of all, we're going to be in scattered out through the chapter, but the beginning of our faith, or the beginning of your faith. But let's look at it tonight. The Bible said here, I want you to see the word begotten in verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, which according to his abundant mercy, there's only one reason that we're begotten, and that's because of the grace and the mercy of God unto a lively hope, and that word lively means living. Our hope is not dead. One of the things I tried to emphasize the 10 years I was preaching in prison is this. You can't go in preaching against all the isms. You can't do that. They won't allow you to do that. So I would say it without saying it. I would say it like this. You can trust someone that couldn't get themselves up if you want to. I'm just a country boy. I'm going to trust the one that got himself up to get me up. In other words, beloved, if you can find your Savior's bones, you've got the wrong Savior. Amen. Thank God our Savior got up and we were begotten. I like that word, begotten. Well, I want you to see this. The Bible said in verse number 23, it's about being begotten. It's about being born again. Not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Everybody that is saved tonight should be able to go back to a time, to a place. That doesn't mean that you have to know it. Listen, I can go back in my memory bank to my earliest childhood, as far back in my childhood as I can remember was my Batman pajamas and my train set. That's as far back as my memory goes, amen? But I can remember my Batman pajamas, and I can remember the train set, and then after that it gets bad. My brother was jealous of the train set, so he took a rock and fix the engine. Amen? listen, we were boys growing up. Amen? And listen, don't put all that off on my brother because we was mean to one another. Amen? It wasn't all one-sided meanness. Amen? we're mean to one another. But I can go back in my mind, in my childhood, but thank God I have a place in my mind I can go back to where I said yes to the Lamb of God. If you don't remember the date, that's okay. You ought to remember where you were when you said yes to Jesus and when the burden of sin was lifted off of you, when you were born again. It has to do with being begotten. It has to do with being born again. It has to do with the Bible. The Bible should have been present in all of this because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God said here, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. The flesh, all the flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. I'm glad that night I understood, because the word of God had been preached to me, that I was the sinner and Jesus was the Savior. I didn't understand all about it that night, but I understand now. Not only, beloved, is it about being born again, about the Bible, about being begotten, but it's also about the blood. The Word of God said here, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Listen tonight, I didn't understand the doctrine of the blood the night I got saved, but I did know this. I went down filthy, and I come up cleaner than I've ever been in my life. I went down guilty, and I came up forgiven. I went down on my way to hell and came up on my way to heaven. I went down without an ounce of joy in my heart, and I came up with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'll never forget that day, amen, that the Lord saved me. The blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily foreordained before the foundation of the world was manifest in these last times for you. I want you to know tonight, beloved, we see the beginning of our faith, but then we see the trial of our faith. If you look in verse number 7, the Word of God said, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. I want you to see a couple of things right here tonight that I hope will help you. Listen, how many's ever heard, they don't do it as much anymore. It's been a long time since I've heard it. But it used to happen on the TV. It used to happen on the radio often. You'd hear beep, beep, beep. How many remembers what I'm talking about? And they'll say, this is a test. This is only a test. Boy, if every child of God could remember, beloved, listen, we're in the midst of the trial. It's only a test, amen. The trial of our faith. Listen, God is testing our faith, not, my friend, to destroy us, but to develop us and to help us that our faith might be made stronger as we journey in this road. The Word of God said there in verse number 1, to the strangers. Aren't you glad? Listen, when you got saved, all of a sudden you realize this world's not your home. It would have been all right with me if Jesus would have come that day, say amen, and took us out of here, amen. And the Word of God is talking about three things here that I want to call your attention to. First, I want to call your attention to the heaviness. The Word of God said in verse 5, who kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Let me tell you something, beloved. Listen, if you live to be 100 years old and you're saved 75 or 80 of those 100 years and you were in heaviness the whole time you were saved, it would just be a short season. And Paul said it like this. He said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us. There are people on the television. There are people in churches today, the health and the wealth crowd. They're preaching, beloved, listen, they're preaching a salvation without heaviness, without trial, without tribulation. But I'm telling you, beloved, listen, Jesus said, listen, in the world, you'll have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Ain't that good tonight? Amen. The Bible talked about heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith. Turn with me. I want to show you something in Job 23 in just a moment, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Look at Job chapter 23 for just a moment. And this is what we need. When we're going through the fire, when we're being tried, and I'll say this tonight. I want to say this from the bottom of my heart. I heard this years ago, and it never left me. It's to God's people. Don't make major decisions with a broken decision maker. Amen. A lot of times people in the midst of the heaviness, in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the tribulation, they make life-changing decisions, and their decision maker is broken. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. The Bible said here in Job chapter 23, I believe, I said verse 10, I believe. He said, but he knoweth the way that I take. How many believes God knows the way that we take? He knows when we're on the mountain. He knows when we're in the valley. He knows when we're on the side somewhere. He knows exactly where we are. He knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You say, Pastor, how could Job make a statement like that? Well, he made it under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. But let me tell you how you and I can make a statement like that. The Word of God, the day that you and I were saved, it was already determined that one day, hallelujah, we're going to be like Christ. I'm telling you, beloved, the trials are going to come. The heaviness is going to come. Listen, the circumstances of life sometimes are going to be more than seemingly we can bear. But thank God we can bear it with the help of the Lord. And He'll help us on the other side. We see God has, listen, there's heaviness in the trial. But the second thing I want to call your attention to is hopefulness. Look in verse 13. Listen to me. We're living in a country. You listen to me. You don't have to believe me tonight, but I'm telling you there are many, many, many people saved and lost, losing hope in this generation that we live in. They have no hope. Amen. The Word of God said in verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be bad, beloved, listen, to give up right on the brink of His coming, to lose hope right on the brink of His coming. God said, listen, He wants us not only to understand that we're going to have heaviness as we go through the trials, but thank God we can have hopefulness. Amen. One of my favorite texts when I'm going through something that's really bothering me is, this too shall pass. Hallelujah. And it came to pass. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. Amen. Hallelujah tonight to the Lamb. I'm glad I've already read the last chapter in the last book. And I know, beloved, listen, we're going home. Hopefulness. But let me give you this. A lot of people, they emphasize that God wants His people to be happy. I'll tell you something. I believe God does want His people to be happy. You say, preacher, why would you say something like that? Well, the Bible said here in verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love. Do you love Him tonight? Though now ye see Him not. You know what this takes? Faith. Yet believing. Yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. God does want His people to be happy. But I'm going to tell you something. He wants more than that. He wants His people to be holy. Let me show you what I mean. Turn in the Bible here to verse number 15, or verse 14 in this chapter. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance. Let me ask you something. It's a personal question. I can answer it tonight. But in your Christian experience, have you ever felt like something was pulling you back to where you used to be? Back to the way you used to think? Back to the things you used to do? Hey, we're still living in the flesh. Say amen. But the Word of God said, why wouldn't Peter even mention this if he talks about, if it's never going to happen? He said, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. He said, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That word there is talking about the way that we behave, amen, our way of life, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. I'm telling you, it's sad tonight, but in a lot of circles, the word holy is hardly ever mentioned. Michael, I'm not saying this just because you're sitting there tonight, but I've never heard anybody pray at the end of their prayer the way you say, your holy, holy, holy name. There's nothing wrong with that, brother. That's what the Word of God said in Isaiah chapter number 6. Holy, holy, holy. That's what they're crying in glory. He's holy tonight, amen. And He wants His children to be holy. Amen. What a blessing tonight. I think about our beginning, the beginning of our faith. I think about the trial of our faith. Beloved, listen, I don't know what you're going through tonight, but God didn't just bring you to it. He's going to bring you through it. I promise you. And when He's tried you, you're going to come forth as gold. Amen. Ain't that a blessing tonight? Now let's look at the end of our faith. We saw the beginning. That's what makes it precious. We saw the trial of our faith. That also makes it precious. If we'd be honest tonight, we would rather skip the trials. If we'd be honest, I'd rather my phone never ring with bad news. I'd rather never have to be with another family when the doctor comes out of the operating room shaking his head. I'd rather not, like I did with Brother Brian, walk the hallways of MD Anderson and watch people just with their head, they couldn't even hold their head up because of the news they just got. Lots of folks go down there and they get help. Lots of folks, there's no help to be had. But I tell you this tonight, I thank God tonight that we can rejoice because, beloved, listen, what's going on here, not even going to compare, not even going to get on the scale with where you and I are going and what God has in store for us that believe. Notice this. The Bible said, this is where I got it in verse 9, receiving the end of your faith. Have you ever thought about it? Our faith has a beginning. Our faith has a trial. But aren't you glad that our faith has an end? You say, Pastor, what do you mean it has an end? Beloved, listen. The Bible said, having not seen. You understand there's a day I'm going to see Him. I'm not going to be walking by faith after that. I'm going to see Him as He is. Because, you see, these eyes couldn't look on Him as He is. That's how holy He is. But give us some glorified eyes and a glorified body. And we can walk with Him and talk with Him and look upon Him. Because, beloved, the end of our faith is even the salvation of our soul. If you look in verse 5, the Bible said, well, let me just read verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible. I said incorruptible. Don't you know the thieves would like to get in and steal our inheritance? Don't you know, beloved, the rust would like to corrupt our inheritance? Amen. But thank God we have an inheritance that's incorruptible. The Word of God said it's undefiled and it fades not away and it's reserved in heaven for you. That's a blessing, isn't it? Amen. Look at the Bible said in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I don't want to confuse anybody. Listen, as far as the soul, we're completely saved. But did you know that the body is awaiting redemption? Our body's not yet been redeemed. But thank God when Jesus comes, the end of our faith is going to see that perfect redemption. And we're going to be like Him, for we'll see Him as He is. The Word of God said, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. The Bible said in verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, He said, pass the time of your sojourning here, in fear. Beloved, listen, according to this chapter, you and I are strangers in this world. The Bible said, they that say such things declare plainly that they're pilgrims and strangers on the earth. And you and I are sojourners here in this world that we live in. God says, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth, verse 22, through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. I believe tonight that's what God's looking for in these last of the last days. He's wanting all men to know that we're His disciples. The only way they're going to know that is if we love one another as He's commanded us to. Amen. I look at the beginning and I'm blessed. I look at the trials and I'm blessed. I look out yonder at the end and I'm blessed tonight. Amen. I'm blessed beyond measure tonight just to be a child of God. To know, let me give you something that just crossed my heart and mind. Whew, that's good. There's a lot being said these days about the supply chain. If I understand this book, Brother Steve, God's people have a supply chain that this world don't know anything about. David said, I once was old, young, and now I'm old. He said, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed a begging bread. So don't fret. Amen. Just walk with God. Amen. I'll tell you this much right now. I know inflation has done kicked in over time. We've got a crazy bunch of politicians in Washington, D.C. that say they want to help the poor. And now the poor can't afford a gallon of gas and can't afford a gallon of milk and can't afford a dozen eggs. Amen. You know I'm telling it right. They're not going to be able to afford to pay their heat bill this winter because of the propane's going up and the natural gas is going up and the coal's going up. You say, Pastor, are you discouraged? No, I'm trying to tell you we're going up. We're going up to be with Jesus. And until then, His supply chain will never have a glitch in it. Amen. They're waiting on the ships. You and I ought to be waiting on the Savior. Say amen. We shouldn't be looking for a ship to come in. We ought to be looking for a Savior to come out of His throne. Amen. Step out on a cloud and say, come up hither. Amen. I mean, he's glad you come tonight.